Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast, where our mission is to help hosts share their space and live their dream. This episode is sponsored by our free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Our comprehensive Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist will take the guesswork out of what you'll need to finally get your Airbnb off the ground. You'll have the confidence to do that thing you've always wanted to do.
Get started today sharing your space and living your dream by visiting our website, thanksforvisiting.me, and that's for F-O-R, and signing up for your free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Again, this is free, so hurry up and get your copy today. Now on to the episode.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello and welcome to another amazing episode of
Thanks for Visiting.
I am Sarah, one of your hosts.
And I am Annette. And we are, all, as always, so excited when we have guests because we're super hosts. And today we are welcoming Tiffany Khalifa of The Beach Lodge.
Yes. Actually, I feel like this has been a wonderful string of like Instagram superheroes. Mm-hmm. Like, so Tiffany has an amazing Instagram account and her feed is ridiculously beautiful. So if you're not driving or doing anything dangerous right now, you should go on Instagram, look up at The Beach Lodge, get to know Tiffany a little bit. And we're going to dive into her story. So Tiffany, welcome to our show.
Hello. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Of course. Thanks for visiting. Thanks for talking with us. So Tiffany, we know that you've just been interviewed by Airbnb, which is huge, but can you take us back to the beginning of your hosting journey and why you got started in hosting and about your special property?
So the hosting started, I don't even know how we actually did that. We were just visiting a friend's listing who was the realtor for this house. And, you know, all he did was show the view. And if you know real estate, you probably kind of are saying like, when they only show the view and nothing else, you know, it's not good. But, but the view was so cool. And my husband's like, oh, let's just go, you know, let's check it out. And when we got there, it was just, this is my house. Like, I didn't even need to go in. Now, when we went in, it was really awful, you guys. It was just, you couldn't even breathe. It smelled so bad and everything was like this putrid green color, like inside and out. I don't know if they had a special on this paint color back in the 70s or what, but every inch of the house was painted this. And if it wasn't painted with this, it was like covered in carpet that just smelled so bad. Because they had a dog there for a while, the poor thing that they had to rescue, and it was sort of like a drug den of the neighborhood. So of course we wanted it, right? We kind of just said like, well, we weren't actually looking. We're just supposed to be visiting a friend, but we had to have it. We bought it, but people actually had it before us and who won the bidding. And I was like, no, that can't be because it's my house. That's just not possible. And so that fell through because they couldn't decide on what to do with the house because they either wanted to knock it down like everyone else who was bidding on it, or they wanted to take off the rooftop to make it even taller. And I think the rooftop is such a special part of it. So we pretty much kept the skeleton of the house and just really tried to bring it back to life. And how do we afford a house, a second house? Well, of course, like, you know, let's just rent it out. And I had no idea what that actually meant. I just needed to give an excuse so that people were like, why are you buying this house? You know, so we bought it and cleaned it up and then said, okay, now we gotta build an Instagram, which I had no idea what Instagram was when we started. I didn't even know really what Airbnb was. It was just sort of like, let's just do it. And, you know, filled out the information. I'm sure like how you guys did. I don't even know if I did it right. We just posted photos and we got a booking immediately, which was great. And then it just kept coming. West Elm found us after a few photos that we posted on Instagram and wanted to know about our story. And normally I don't know if you guys know West Elm. I don't know if they're national or what, but here in California, it's like such a cool, hip store. And when they called, I kind of thought like, is this a joke? Like, you know, and they're like, we just want to see what, you know, the before and afters. And, you know, I'm like, great. We only have like one lamp from West Elm. And, you know, I researched and saw that all the homes that they featured had like West Elm products everywhere, like obviously, you know, but they ran a full story on us and it became like this thing. Like all of a sudden people started following us and I had no idea what was happening. It was just such a rush.
How long after you listed on Airbnb did West Elm get in contact with you?
They contacted us immediately, probably within a month. And then also within that same time frame, Tilly's, which is a clothing company, that contacted us as well and wanted to use the house for their whole spring advertisement in their stores, in their catalogs, and so forth. So that was in October that we put it up on Airbnb.
Of 2018?
No, this was, we're going to be hitting our 4-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Okay. So when we did that, then West Elm found us. So with West Elm, it was, I think, like November that they did that. Then Tilly's was there around that same time. In December, Dwell contacted us and they found our photos on Instagram and asked if we could be in their special publication, which was all rooms. I think it was called Rooms We Love, and it was all rooms that they found on blogs, on Instagram, you know, any social media. And so we were in that as well. But by January, we were added on to venue report. I don't know if you guys know the venue report.
Oh, tell us.
So the venue report is, they list all of these homes, from villas to castles, and it's all over the world. So if you want to have a wedding in Ireland in a castle, well, they'll have it for you, you know, or if you want to have a vacation in Italy at a villa, well, just go there. And they have every year their top 100 hottest new venues in the world. And they chose us as one of the top 100.
You are an actual superstar.
Yeah, we have to tell everybody, disclaimer, these results are not typical. If you just list your place on Airbnb. So
you,
Tiffany,
I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
You're setting the bar super high.
It was really strange because, again, each time these people contacted me, I had to say, is this for real? Like, I kind of thought it was a telemarketer. Like, what do you want? You know, but to say like top 100, and we're in such a small, portion of Southern California, like I never even knew about it. And most people clump us in an area called Oxnard, which is all like agricultural. And you never thought that passed through all these fields was the edge of this like amazing beachfront that no one goes to because they don't know about it. But we share the coastline with Malibu to the south of us and Santa Barbara to the north of us. And,
I have a question because I know there's a lot of like flippers. There's a lot of designers that deep down, they want to be on HGTV. They want Architectural Digest, you know, to have a spread on them. Did you somewhere deep down when you were designing hope to get the some publicity?
I didn't.
Okay. I felt that from you, but I just wanted to see.
I didn't. And, I think that's what's great about it was all about just showing my passion for it. You know, because beforehand I was a creative director and I actually owned my own motion graphics company. And we were just getting we've been working with the same clients for years and it became kind of stale. Like I felt like I was doing the same thing over and over again with my eyes closed and the creativity was just gone. So this was more of a passion project. And that was all the goal was to like just get back into being creative. Yeah. And I think that when you're so passionate about something, I think that is when you create something so magical and, you know, you get the attention. Who would think?
Right.
It was like a month. Month being on Airbnb and, the magazines came, these publications are ones that I'm crazy about. I mean, like Dwell was something like, how do I get on that? and then Domino Magazine also, was one of the ones where they posted our living room and it was like everyone else was a designer, like an interior designer and all that. And then you've got the beach lodge as one of the, the living rooms that like you have to copy or whatever. And it's been an amazing trip and we've had some amazing, amazing followers. What I think I love about our followers, it's all been organic. We haven't bought followers. I really hate that idea of like having to pay someone so that I can have X amount of followers and X amount of likes. Because it was never about that. It was really just about being creative and making something that I would be in love with and hopefully everyone else was in love with.
I think that's why it works too, Tiffany, is because you can see the authenticity in, it's seamless, it's very you, and people have taken notice. So Annette mentioned this in the intro, but I don't think our audience knows about it yet. So Airbnb, at the recording of this podcast episode, and actually this will probably go live in a couple of weeks, is doing a series and they're calling it hashtag how to host. And Tiffany, you were featured. So not only does Dwell reach out and West Elm, but like the Mac Daddy of all people in our industry, in our world of short-term rentals reaches out to you to share with the world how you pay such close attention to detail. And obviously that's, how you've gotten all these amazing opportunities. So, there's so many times we Annette and I get called out to Airbnbs to say, hey, Sarah, we're just not making the money this month. We've had, 4-star reviews, 3-star reviews. And we walk in and we notice like a used sponge for a new guest. The place reeks of bleach or like these things that aren't actually details. They're actually big things. And it goes over a lot of people's heads. So, we're hoping you can just share with us how, yes, these details take time and a little bit of money up front and a lot of thought, but how worth it it is in the end.
It really is worth it. And, I think what's the best is when guests actually point out these things that you really, for me, overthought. And, it's amazing. Like, I think there's certain things where it's like in the details, a lot of the people that were responding to that host series, some people kind of felt a little, it was almost a little defensive, like, well, how can I do all that? I don't have that kind of money to be buying this and that for people. And I think that there is a little bit of a, you know, misunderstanding about that. I don't think you have to necessarily spend an enormous amount of money. I think there's certain like details that, you know, for me, there's the details that I think are logical that you have to do. And maybe you're just not seeing that. But, you know, for us, for example, we provide beach towels because we're by the beach, you know, right. And it would be the same as if a hotel was trying to promote that they had a pool. If they didn't have towels for the pool, I would feel a little odd. Like, what am I supposed to do?
You right. know, or buy a towel. And it's like, why is all this money getting here? And yeah, it just, and
so I do know that like, there's some people that don't provide beach towels that do have beachfront homes. And it's like, what are you supposed to do? You know, you're traveling, you know, for beach properties, I think a lot of people during the summer, especially, are traveling from all over the world. And do you really expect them to pack beach towels in their, you know, and then pay the extra luggage for just beach towels? So those kind of things, I think, are details that are just, they're just necessities. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, for the other details of like just taking it up a notch, I mean, if you're going to provide the coffee maker, and, you know, maybe it would be nice if you provided some, you know, coffee with it and even like some creamer. Now, do you have to? Like, I guess not, but at least like have the coffee maker, right?
Absolutely.
So, where some people are just kind of like, no, like, why would I do that? Right.
Right.
And and then for me, like what I really love is just the extra details that are more my personal choice that I don't necessarily think everyone has to do, but it's something that I think of as luxury, as, you know, as being pampered, like having the robes. I love robes. So if I was staying somewhere, that's how I would feel like a little special. So we have robes for people and a lot of our guests. And I think like once you figure out the type of guests that you're trying to attract, like for me, a lot of them really love technology. So now it's like we'll have the Apple TV because I know that a lot of our guests will have their own accounts and they love being able to just pop in their account and already have the kind of shows that they want to watch. And we have like the alarm clock that already has something that can charge up your phone. And that's like an extra luxury that I choose to give, but I don't think everyone needs to do. But it's the kind of things that my particular guests, I think, really find to be useful. And, you know, it makes them feel like cool to have it. And it's very useful for them. So I don't think you have to spend a lot of money. Like just having flowers even, or for me, like I don't, do you guys bake for your guests? Because I don't have time to bake.
I want to keep my 5-star reviews. That would sink me down really quick. Maybe if I let my mom bake for them, but they do not want me baking anything.
Yeah. but a lot of the people that responded to the hosting, like they bake, like they make, you know, scones from scratch. And I'm like, wow. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. But like, all I do is, you know, for us, there's a lot of fresh fruits around and, we're all about like the organic and eating like healthy in the house. So I just picked like oranges and apples from my mom's trees and that cost me nothing. Yeah. So I think that if you just kind of opened up your mind to other things outside of the box, I think that you could find ways of adding these little details without spending a lot of money.
And Tiffany, let's dig in, because we haven't ever yet on our podcast had anybody with an actual beach property. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a couple of things. Is this your only property that you host currently?
It is.
Okay. And do you only have it on Airbnb, or do you list it on HomeAway or VRBO or any other sites at all?
We have it on VRBO and HomeAway, and we also have it on Boutique Homes.
Oh, I've never heard of that. So okay.
Boutique Homes is an invite-only type of site, and they only list homes that I think are like special in like art, in an architectural way, or right, the way it's been designed. It's very much for people who are very design driven.
Do you have to apply to have your home listed?
They came to me, but
of course they did, Tiffany. Why wouldn't they? Oh, just joking with you. Okay, so, that's interesting. Sarah and I will have to dig into the.
Yeah, and then there's also the Kid and Co. Have you guys heard of that one?
Yeah,
I feel like it sounds familiar, but I don't know what it is.
So I think that one you can, that one you definitely can apply. But the ones I've seen there are really nice. Like they are, they do seem like they're very design driven. Like they're also pretty, or you know, the locations are great. But the biggest thing for them is that these are kid friendly homes. So they look cool. They look cool and they're kid friendly.
Oh, cool!
Which I love.
So, but most of our bookings are through Airbnb. And I think, you know, for me, I think it's definitely because of the look of the house. It's the type of guests that we attract are coming more from Airbnb. We're getting a lot more of the hipster kind of thing. You know, sure, the 25 to 35 who do love to travel, who do love having a certain look to the house. And they do like the technology. Like I said, they like the smart TVs and the smart door, you know, door locks and all that kind of stuff. But from VRBO, we still get stuff from VRBO, and they are all families. And when we get it from VRBO, it's holidays. So spring break.
Yep.
Summer break, that kind of stuff. But I love Airbnb more in terms of like, I feel like, don't you feel like you already know the guests when they're coming? Like, right, yeah, you've gotten to know them. And right, whereas VRBO, I feel like I don't. It's like a crapshoot of who's coming. And we've just been lucky that it's been good. Whereas I do know other people who do a lot more with VRBO, and for some reason their homes get a little bit more beat up.
Hmm.
But I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
I can't really speak.
Actually, and this is a good transition, because so a few months ago, Annette and I traveled down to Galveston, Texas, and we did a consultation with a woman and her husband actually who have an HGTV show, Big Texas Fix. And they are also on a beach, obviously, in Galveston. And she actually just asked us, like, what is our feedback on low season? Like, what do we do to become competitive during low season? And for us, I guess you'd call us, like, you know, not city, but like Midwest, it's different for us. You know, my strategies may not work for beachfront properties, but we still very much have a low season. Like, for us, January and February is like dead. You know, no one's traveling then in the Midwest. Like, there's snow everywhere, it's cold, and everyone's miserable.
Right.
But Tiffany, what do you do to kind of like, do you find yourself even needing it because your property is so special that you really don't find yourself having a low season? Or if you do, what are some strategies that you put into place?
We have low seasons. It's just not as low as some others, because we do get a lot of people from not just in the US, but you know, I mean, it's cold somewhere, right? So for us, like, for example, for our low season of winter, we've gotten people from Russia, from Siberia, you know, from the coldest parts of Canada. So I do think that you should target the people in those areas, because it's going to be much warmer for them to be in California's winter than in their winter, right? So we've never really had that kind of problem, but we're not like fully booked in terms of like every single day like it is in the summer. But when it comes to our low season, what I've done is I do look at those parts. Like if it's New York, if we've gotten a lot of people in New York, East Coast, for our winters, so I'm going to post during their times so that they do see my posts and remember that, hey, you guys can travel over this way. And
you're talking about Instagram, like posting on Instagram, yes, on their time zones. Okay, yeah. So also, Tiffany, this is a really good point that, you know, details don't have to cost money. Instagram is still very much free to use. And so I love how, you know, you having an Instagram account for your Airbnb is a detail, and you're leveraging that on the low season. And then you're adjusting your posting times to see if you can't attract travelers who are looking for inspiration. And forget inspiration, you can actually come and stay at the beach lodge, you know, in February when New York City is terrible. You know what I mean? So I just, right, it's brilliant. And it costs you a little bit of time, but it's marketing. And I love how you're kind of taking that into your own hands.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think the biggest question that I always get is, how important is Instagram to you? And it's the biggest thing for me. That's how we were found. That's how we continue to gain more followers and gain more bookings, is through Instagram. And like you were saying, it's like, why wouldn't you take advantage of this free opportunity to market yourself?
You know? So good.
So, I mean, that's how we were found by Airbnb for the, you know, how to host. I know that they were stalking for a while.
Listeners, we'll link to Tiffany's how to host video. It's under 4 minutes or just about 3 minutes. And it's just value packed with just her top tips for adding details into your space. So I know you'll get a lot of value out of that.
And some amazing before and after pictures.
Yes, she gives a little glimpse of what it looks like before.
Yeah.
So Tiffany, let's help our listeners out. I know all of us have made mistakes in the beginning. And you basically said that you kind of just learned as you went. What were some mistakes that you made in the beginning? Did you price it too low? Did you not have a minimum night stay? Did you not have a cleaning fee? What are some of the things you feel like you kind of had to learn the hard way?
You know, I think the one thing that I needed to do was really stay in the house. And before that, it was like, you know, I think once it caught on, we were just like getting people in there and we kind of thought like, oh, it's great. No one's complained about anything. We're getting 5 stars and so forth. And once we actually had time that we could go in there is when I found, like, for me personally, like the bed, the mattress was not like up to par. Like I felt like every time my husband would move, I would just dip into the middle, you know. So, but
that's a great for everybody.
Yes, I feel like you have to try out everything while you're there, and you don't understand really. Like I think it's amazing how people can, you know, host from different states and so forth. Like, but I don't know how they can do it and not visit the location once in a while and see what's happening. So, like, I had no idea about the mattress. And so we immediately got the mattresses. I didn't know about the weather, about being so close to the ocean. Because we're inboard, and I didn't know what inboard was, but inboard is basically that last street before you hit sand. And the house in front of us is only a 1-story, so we're not really getting any kind of shielding, but at the same time, we're getting a full view because of that. But everything like rusts so much quicker, and we had no idea. Like anything inside, like we have stainless steel refrigerator and stove, but even that, like, you start to see deteriorating a little bit more, your piping and all that. So those are the things like, we actually bought properly, but had we not bought that, it's like we would have been replacing that pretty immediately. So that's, I think you have to know if you're going to buy anywhere, like if for a beachfront, like you have to keep in mind the weather.
I have a question about your strategy with your calendar, actually. Since you're so popular on Instagram and your local community, I mean, abroad, you've been in tons of publications. How far out do you allow people to book your space? Or do you find it better to actually release it in slow increments so you can adjust your fees? So like while you're being featured by Airbnb, do you up your prices then? And do you allow yourself the flexibility of not opening up your calendar for 6 months at a time, 9 months at a time? Or do you just let it go and try to get her booked up so you know that you're good?
So that's actually a great question because it just reminded me that that is the biggest mistake that I have had to face is I didn't limit it. So right now you can actually book a year in advance, but I didn't know that after the year is done and the next calendar year starts, it's like all of your pricing goes back to default. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
So I had no idea. And so people were booking like for next summer, but like at our low season rate.
Okay. So what happens there? So do you just let it roll or what was your response when that happened? Someone got a steal of a deal and then you went in and adjusted, or you had a oh snap moment and started frantically blocking your change pricing?
Well, I had to frantically start changing. And then thankfully, the people that had booked that summer were followers. And so I feel like when you have this community in Instagram, it's like you guys are all friends already. And so they were very understanding that I had to up the price to what it was supposed to be. And like, they just said like, oh yeah, no problem. I totally understand. Whereas like there was one where I had to bite the bullet for it because it's like, oh, they booked a holiday, which normally for holidays, I try to make it a minimum of 3 nights instead of the minimum 2 nights. And I must have missed the holiday and didn't put that minimum days. And so I had to just give it because Airbnb really dings you if you try to cancel that.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh, that is really hefty. I mean, you lose your super host status and all that. And, you know, I don't really know how much super host status does for you guys. I people ask me all the time and I always kind of say, you know, I don't really pay attention, but it couldn't hurt to have it, right? So,
absolutely,
I feel like it's like the bare minimum. Like, and I know there are certain Airbnb host types, I will call them, who just feel like, hey, if losing status means making more money, like canceling on a guest, so you can charge more to someone else. I can't live my life like that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. For me, the guest comes first. And if I'm going to ruin someone's trip because I want to make an extra $50 or $100, like it's just, you know, even as a couple $100, I don't know. It's just for me, right. I couldn't sleep at night. It's just not worth it.
Right. And we, you know, for us, it's like we've gotten a lot of repeat guests. So I would hate to think that I've kind of, you know, closed that off because I needed one more day.
Right. Yeah. It's just not worth it for a long-term business. It's
yeah. I think the first mistake where they were understanding just, it was a full week. And so that was really great because it was a big difference for us to lose that because we didn't know that it defaults. So that's a good thing to know is that it defaults. I really wish it wouldn't default.
Right. That's one of those things that they probably, it's just built into the system and probably is the easiest thing across the board for yes. The algorithm. Do you, Sarah and I don't get it. We get into this kind of, but I want to dig into it a little bit more with you. Since this is your only property that you have listed, what type of goals financially do you set for yourself each month? Is it, you know, we want to pay mortgage taxes, we want to make some money? Like when you first started, what did that look like? And then now, what does that look like goal setting wise financially?
Before, it was like, let me pay my mortgage, you know, because we had, when we put it up in October, we had completely gotten like wiped out our savings. And it was, you know, construction that we weren't expecting to have. And the furniture was actually like a lot of the furniture that we had were just things that I had in the garage. So that really helped out. But now it's like, I want to make sure that I have enough money for the property tax and for the home insurance and, you know, for all the fixes and stuff. And so how we also like to save on that is like, now we have to also think like, can we book it for shoots? Because for, I don't know if you guys ever book for shoots, but you know, you can then charge a little more for the shoots. And then that can help us with like phase two of the house. Like there's so much that we still want to do with the house. And even though like it's really perfect, it's like, well, we'd love to have stairs, for example. We don't have stairs from the garage to get you into the house. And our garage is... our laundry is in the garage. So you have to go outside and then go back up to the house. So now when we're thinking about money, it's like we're thinking about those extra things where before we really weren't. We were just kind of like, let's just make sure we make the mortgage.
Right.
It becomes now more of a business. It's like, okay, how much more can we leverage this?
Girl, yes, I love it. I love, you know, it's all about the guests, and I am a big believer in that. And I don't want you canceling your guests, make more money. But you're so right, Tiffany. It really is a business, and when you treat it like a business, that's when you can actually be, you know, more attuned to your guests because you're not feeling any sort of strain or stress because you've kind of built systems and you have goals financially in place. And you can do the extra things to take care of them. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's such a win-win thing when you actually put some thought behind
you. For sure. I mean, I think just because there wasn't a thought, that kind of thought in the beginning doesn't mean that it can't be attainable. And we built something just really great. And I just want to take it further. I don't think of it as a side hustle. I think of it as a business. And so now I'm making the strides to let everyone else know that it is a business, like coming up with a brand, like coming up with the logo, coming up with the website. And, you know, what else can we do with this brand? You know, we've had offers of people who want to get into the business with the Beach Lodge and have offered to like, hey, we can buy a house and put the Beach Lodge brand onto it. And it's like, what does that look like? Because these are strangers that all of a sudden out of nowhere say like, how would you like, you know, $4 million to... like invest in like a motel and call it like the Beach Lodge Motel or whatever. And that was kind of like, I think with the growth, there's also me a lot of fear of like, whoa, slow down, you know?
Sure.
There's some danger with growing too fast or growing without thinking too. So I think that's valid.
Yeah, I've been involved with other companies like in design where they were amazing companies that were small and they just grew so fast. And when they grew, it just got out of control. So I wanted this past year, it's been a little bit of like ups and downs because trying to figure out what the next step is I think it's difficult. And I know like a lot of people will look at like us and you guys and say like, oh, they're doing great and they must be raking in the bucks and all that kind of stuff. But all that money is going back.
Yes.
You know, it's like either going back to improving the, for me, this one, you know, one rental, and for you guys, for just expanding more and like flipping more. So, and we all kind of still go through the whole like, what if, you know, like, I mean, even with Airbnb coming to us and saying like, oh, so we want you to be the guru of details. And it's like, what? Like, like, are you sure? And then you start going through the whole like self-examination and and having to look good in front of everyone, because people are like saying to you, you know, you were an inspiration. You want to be a good inspiration.
And but it's all about those baby steps too. Like you said, like you don't have to start out being the inspiration. You can start out with your idea and curate it and love it, nurture it over the, you know, over the course of time. Yeah.
So I do think like if anyone wants to, like for me, the best way of adding the details is putting yourself into it. You know, and not really looking at everyone else and what everyone else is doing.
Which it's so easy to do that. I don't care how fancy you are or how new you are. Like we all kind of look next to us and above us and below us and size ourselves up. But
it's so hard. You're like looking at this person and you're like, but they're doing so great. And it's like, you don't know.
Right.
It may look great because it's, hey, Instagram, everyone looks perfect. You know, but everyone goes through their struggles and stuff. So stop comparing yourself to them and just like make this place your own, like put your story into it. You know, that's what we call the Beach Lodge.
And that's why it's, she's rocking it out. So is there anything else you haven't shared with us that you think our listeners could really benefit from learning? Maybe even you, I don't know if you've already tackled it, but like if you have a favorite host hack or piece of inspiration for anyone out there who's not yet jumped into the Airbnb business, anything else we haven't touched on yet, Tiffany?
Oh God, that's a hard question.
If not, they can just follow you and you share lots of inspiration every day on your Instagram. But I just didn't know if there's anything we haven't touched on yet.
No, I really do think like if you're just getting into it, like you should like be excited, like go with the excitement instead of the fear. But even if you are scared of it, it's like, hey, if you're scared, that means like it means something to you. Like you want it to work. You know, use that fear and combine it with your excitement and put yourself into that. And, you know, I think if you just dissect a little bit of what we do and just put yourself into that, then you can have a really good, successful business here. Like, I love that there's so many women who are getting into Airbnb. Like,
yes.
Like, it's amazing that we have this opportunity to leave jobs that, you know, may not be so exciting, that we're not passionate about, and build something from nothing. It's really from nothing, you know, and definitely get on Instagram or Facebook. I'm not a big Facebook girl, but if you are and that's where your audience is, then go full force on that. Because the one person is going to say to another person about this place and that place, and it just grows. It, you know, for us, it's like, how did we get that many followers? Mm-hmm. And it's really just by, like I said, it's like by word of mouth.
Yeah.
So it can definitely happen. It's one of those cliche, if it can happen to me, it can happen to you kind of thing, but it, it really does. And it's a great community to be in. I think everyone wants to help each other out, you know, so everyone reaches out to me. I'm sure everyone reaches out to you. It's great to help everyone out. And now it's like, how can we help them even further? And that's the next phase of the business, which is, you know, come up with some consulting and all that.
Well, I know that Sarah and I are going to be feverishly like looking at flights to California after we get off. After we get off the phone.
Oh, but. Yeah. Yeah, well, our winter's not coming very soon. That's one thing about us is like people think that summer is done, you know, come August, but our summers extend all the way till the end of October. Like, wow, you can go into the water and be fine. I mean, that's the great thing about California.
Yeah. Well, where can our listeners find out more about you, Tiffany, other than Instagram? Where else do you live on the web?
So we have a website that I just designed that took quite a long time.
Ooh, yay, where is it?
Because, of course, I had to do it all by myself again. and it's HollywoodBeachLodge.com. And you can see our backstory and history about our neighborhood there, but you also get a chance to learn about one of our other New York ventures, or mine, which is consulting with other hosts, upcoming hosts and current hosts who want to really elevate their game.
Love
so you can find out more there and, you know, hopefully add more services in there along the way.
Great. Well, I know. I really hope that this our episode helps elevate what you do. And I love your how to host video at Airbnb. And like I said, we'll link to that in the show notes. So thank you so much for your time, Tiffany. We loved having you on.
Thank you. Sorry if I rambled.
Oh, of course not.
No.
Sometimes I forget what the question is. And then I'm like going on tangents and but hopefully those tangents also bring some insight.
No, tons and tons of insight. So we really appreciate that. All right, listeners, until next time, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Annette.
And we are
Thanks for visiting.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros, is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.